Well, it's good to be here, and it's been, I think it was about October of last year that we were last here, because we've been busy planting our South Sea congregation, so we need to get the banner updated, don't we? Add South Sea. If you've got some Tippex on, you could just kind of write it on the bottom if you like, or some paint. Barry's always got some paint on him, hasn't he? Where's Barry? Oh, there he is. Hey, Barry. I spent 2 weeks with Barry in the Philippines back in February. That was fun. Got to know Barry pretty well then. And yes, so it's a pleasure to be here. We've got three kids, but we try not to bring them with us at all. they are, well, Portsmouth, Corbin's playing drums in our Portsmouth congregation today. Elliot's running the sound in our South Sea congregation. And Lola had a sleepover at Nanny's last night, and she's gone to South Sea with Nanny as well. So that's where the kids are today, but we are here, and we're really happy to be here, and really excited about the now and the future, excited about the building. Feels like it's been a long time coming, doesn't it? Well, it has. When did we put the offer in on the building? June of 2024. Wow, it has been a long time coming, hasn't it? But we are nearly there, and we're really looking forward to getting moved in and making that our base here in the Waterside. As many of you know, I grew up in this area. We lived in Blackfield, not too far from St. Francis Church. I remember doing cub activities at St. Francis Church back in the day with Ian and Carl, who were also in the 6th New Forest East Cub Scout group. When my dad was the Arcala, and then we moved to Hythe when I was 10, and I went to Applemorth School, and then I moved to Portsmouth when I was 21, just a few months before Carla moved to Portsmouth, and we didn't know each other then, but yeah, that was back in 1998, and the church had just started. Andy and Gina had just started the church, and so we've basically grown up with the church, and we spent a couple of years of just being best mates. Apparently, I annoyed Carla a lot. But as soon as we fell in love, I stopped annoying her and have never annoyed her since. So I'm really happy to share the Word of God with you today. And I quite like the look of that lectern over there, actually. But I was just thinking about it during... Is that the school's one? Yeah, we should take that with us when we go to the building. That's just a joke, just joking. So this is part three of Healthy Church, or Healthy House, I think Wendy said earlier. And when she said that, I thought, oh, I've got the wrong end of the stick, Healthy House. But Healthy Church, Healthy House, part three. And I heard Dan did a cracking job last Sunday, Wendy the week before that. And so this is me this week, and then Pastor Paul is going to do a cracking job next week, part four of Healthy Church. And I was just thinking about, what do I want to share when it comes to Healthy Church? And I just couldn't get away from the analogy of sheep and the flock of sheep. And so I began to think about what does a healthy flock of sheep look like? And I don't know if there's any sheep farmers here. There's more likely to be sheep farmers here than there are in our Portsmouth congregation. But there's no sheep farmers? Okay, so that's good. So I can say stuff and you won't know whether it's right or not. But I was just thinking about what it means to be a healthy church. And I'm going to just use the flock of sheep as a bit of an analogy today to talk about. So let's pray, and then we're going to get into the Word. So Father, thank you that you are responsible for your church. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us stewardship of it. But ultimately, Jesus, it's you that builds your church, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful, Lord, that you love your church. Lord, that you love people. Lord, that you are for us and not against us. And Lord Jesus, thank you that when we walk with you, when we walk closely with you, we can't go wrong. So we determine, Lord Jesus, that we're going to strap ourselves to you. We're going to be close to you, connected to you, and we're going to go wherever you go. And Lord, that's our commitment, and that's what we desire to do. And thank you that as we do that, Lord, the yoke is easy, the burden is light. So thank you, Jesus, that you take us, even today, Lord, you take us along your path that you have for us. Amen. Yeah, I kind of lived in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 over the last 18 months. And that's where Jesus says to a whole crowd of people, including some very religious people that were very burdened by trying to live according to rules. And Jesus says to them, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. For my burden, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's not on the screen. And I've just been living in that this year and just had this revelation really of God's grace, how when I just draw close to Jesus. So the picture there is two oxen, and Jesus is this huge, strong, mature ox who knows what he's doing in the field of this world. And I'm the immature, kind of need a bit of taming ox, that the best thing I can do is just get close to the mature one and just walk where he walks. And when I go where he goes, I will live in his will. I will live according to his ways. And the rules are really important, but I can't live by the rules. I can only live by being close to Jesus. And that's the grace of God. That's the grace of God that has saved us and that causes us to live in the kingdom of God way in our lives. And so I just encourage you, get close to Jesus. That's going to make a healthy church. If we just all get close to Jesus, the end. Thank you. But, I mean, honestly, that's the key, right? So let's kind of just keep that in mind as we talk today. So what does a healthy flock of sheep look like? Well, a healthy flock is not based on the number of sheep. A large number of sheep is simply a large flock of sheep, not necessarily a healthy flock. However, I do think that both small flocks and large flocks should be healthy flocks of sheep. Well, it's funny, isn't it, when you say it quite a few times, flocks. And so actually, you can have a large number of sheep and it can be really healthy or it can be really unhealthy. You can have a small number of sheep and it can be really healthy or it can be really unhealthy. So I just want to look at some indicators, six indicators of a healthy flock of sheep today. And the first one is this. And when I talk about this, I'm thinking about evangelism. But the first one is that they reproduce. A healthy flock of sheep will reproduce. Now, reproduction doesn't happen if the flock is an unhealthy flock. But when the flock is healthy, there will be lambs. Lambs. So we want our church to be a place where people can bring friends, knowing that their friends will have a great experience of God's house and knowing that they will have an opportunity to encounter Jesus. That's what we want Family Church to be, is a place where people have a great experience of God's family, but they can also encounter Jesus. And when we're a healthy church, then that will be the case. We want to be outward-looking sheep, where we're ready to bring into God's house other sheep, lambs, those who are searching, those who are looking for a relationship with God. We want to be able to bring people in to this house, into this flock. And we want them to feel like they've been welcomed home, as the banners say. Welcome home. That kind of came into our hearts during lockdown. And as we came out of lockdown, that was one of the big things that we just wanted to center around, is welcome home. We run our Welcome Home course, which is all about helping people find their family in God's house, find their place in God's house. And so we desire that we would be a church that reproduces. Now, interestingly, it's not the shepherd that produces the sheep. The shepherd is there to care for the sheep. It's sheep that produce sheep, or sheep produce lambs, I should say. So although the pastor is also a sheep, it's not solely the pastor's responsibility to bring new sheep into the flock. It's the sheep's responsibility. And all the sheep said? Well done. So, you're in tune today. So, just on that first thought, I just want to ask a couple of questions. So what could you do to ensure that this flock is a welcoming place where people can really feel like they've come home, and a place where people can encounter Jesus? And another question is this: when did you last go with the Good Shepherd to find a lost sheep and bring them into this flock? And that's a challenging thought. It's a challenging short thought for all of us. But the Good Shepherd is Jesus. And, you know, Jesus talked a lot about leaving the 99 sheep to go in search of the one that's lost. And that's the heart of Jesus. And so we don't have to put a lot of pressure on ourselves to go searching for the one. Jesus is already doing that. So I think what we need to do is learn to go with Jesus where he's going. And he will help us identify the one that is lost and bring that one into this flock, into the house of God. So that's the first point. A healthy flock of sheep, they reproduce. Speaking of evangelism. The second one is this. A healthy flock of sheep, well, they nurture. And this is speaking of pastoral care. So sheep also care for sheep. Okay, we'll come to the shepherd in a minute. The shepherd has a lot of responsibility as well. But the sheep have a lot of responsibility. Maybe more than you realize, because it's the sheep that care for the sheep. When a lamb is born, the mother sheep is the one that cleans the lamb up, provides it with milk, and helps it take its first steps. It's not the shepherd's job to try and feed milk to the lamb. It's the sheep that feed milk to the lamb. Now, of course, the pastor is also a sheep. But it's not solely the pastor's responsibility to care for the sheep, is it? The sheep care for the sheep. And actually, what we want to do as pastors, because I'm speaking as a pastor as well, what we want to do as pastors is we want to set a culture where in family church, we have a real grasp of our responsibility as sheep, that it is our responsibility to care for one another. So the shepherd, we want to make sure that the sheep are cared for, that they're nurtured, but it's the sheep that do the caring. And that has to be our culture, because especially when you grow big, that's impossible to achieve if the pastor's trying to do everything. It just won't happen. So let's make sure that we really take that responsibility serious, that we grow a culture where we care for one another, where we're compassionate for one another, where we don't just speak words of love, but our love has action attached to it. That's so important. So here's another question for you. I will use some scripture in a minute. So when it comes to nurturing, when it comes to caring for the sheep, how are you contributing to the health of this flock? Do you understand that it is partly your responsibility to care for one another? I always remember this scripture because it's 1 John 3:16. Of course, John 3:16 is God so loved the world that he gave. And Jesus laid it down his life. And then 1 John 3:16 talks about us laying down our lives for one another by demonstrating the love of God, not just speaking words of love and kindness, but actually demonstrating with our actions the love of God. The third point is this. So sheep, a healthy flock will reproduce, a healthy flock will nurture. Third point is a healthy flock is a well-fed flock. And that's, to me, speaking of discipleship, a well-fed flock. So on the 7th of December, 2 p.m., St. Francis Church, see you there. Actually, I won't be there. I know. But it's my dad's 80th birthday in December, and we're going to Bournemouth for that first weekend of December to, it's a surprise, by the way. Oh, no. I'm going to tell Mum not to let him listen to this recording as well. Okay. Anyway, what was I saying? Well-fed, a well-fed flock. So a well-fed flock is speaks to me of discipleship. So Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2 says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me Lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Okay, so there's three things there that I want to just underline. First of all, when Jesus is our shepherd, we lack nothing. He leads us in the green, makes us lie down in green pastures, lead us beside still waters. Green pastures and still waters. So a healthy flock of sheep need a constant supply of forage, like grass, and they need a constant supply of clean water. So the shepherd here, we see that a good shepherd leads his sheep into green pastures and beside still waters. And when sheep have this, they become a healthy and strong flock of sheep. And they'll be able to survive even in difficult conditions. The food is very, very important. And in the same way, when it comes to being Christians, when it comes to making disciples, it's really important that we are being well fed on God's word. And when you are well fed on God's word, you will stand strong in the storms of life. Psalm 1 talks about, you know, blessed is the man. And it talks about how when you delight yourself in the law of God, in the principles of God's kingdom, you will stand strong like a tree that brings forth its fruit in all seasons of life. So it is the shepherd's responsibility to ensure that the flock has the food and water that they need. Of course, the good shepherd, Jesus, has already ensured that. We have the Bible. He taught us to pray. He taught us to be people who walk with him and draw close to his word. So that's already taught by Jesus. But also as leaders of the church, as shepherds of this flock, family church, we want to do well at presenting the word of God, at making the word of God accessible, at encouraging prayer in the church so that we all grow, encouraging a relationship with the Holy Spirit where we're not just trying to do life on our own and walk through the desert without the water of the Holy Spirit, but that we're well fed on the Word of God and we are well nourished and we're saturated by the water of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We want there to be fresh bread always and fresh water, speaking of the Word and Spirit. But of course, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And of course, we have to individually take personal responsibility for eating of the Word of God and drinking of the water of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And also, Jesus gave this great commission in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. He said, Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. Make disciples. So he's talking to his followers and he's saying, now go and make disciples. In other words, help other people to follow me. Help other people to abide in my word. Help other people to have a relationship with me and to grow in their knowledge of me through the word of God and through the Holy Spirit. So we are all called to be disciples and we're all called to make disciples. So question for you this morning. How are you investing into your life when it comes to the Word of God and when it comes to your relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit? And another question is, what are you doing to help others to grow? Selfish Christianity is just about me, but what are you doing to help other people grow? Are you involved with a connect group? Connect groups are our small groups that meet during the week. That's a good thing because it kind of puts you in an awkward position where you have to contribute, where you have to be involved, where you have to have conversation and open up the Word of God together and pray together. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So another identifier or indicator of a healthy flock is that the flock is safe and secure. And this is my biggest point today, so I'm going to spend most time on it. Probably be finished by about, it's normally 12:30 you finish, yeah? Yeah. Okay, that's a joke. So a healthy flock of sheep is a place where the sheep have peace and are at rest because they feel safe and secure. When you feel safe and secure, you can have peace and be at rest. In Romans 5, it talks about we now have peace with God because we've been justified in his sight. In other words, because we know that we're right with God, we can have peace in our lives. And that's where true peace comes from. That's where it all starts. It's through your faith in Jesus, knowing that he's your Savior, knowing that he has made you right before the Father. You can have true peace in your life, no matter what's going on around you, because you're right with God. What an amazing thing it is to have right standing with God. Like, how incredible is that? That you and I can know that when God looks at us, he doesn't see the sin. The sin has been washed away because of the blood of Jesus, because of what Jesus did on the cross. But when God looks at us, he sees people that are perfect in his sight. We are right before God, not because of our works, simply because of the grace of God. Amen? So a healthy flock is a place where sheep have peace and at rest because they feel safe and secure. The sheep are safe because they're protected from the wolves, the big bad wolf. This is achieved in several ways. There's three sub-points to point number four this morning. This is achieved by being together. We want to be together. I was just doing that on behalf of my wife, who originally is from the great city of Birmingham. We want to be together. Remember, anyone remember the advert? Yeah, BT advert, I think, right? Yeah, okay, right. Just for context. So, sheep feel safe when they're together. They're very vulnerable to be attacked when they are isolated and on their own. So, first of all, don't fall into the trap of isolating yourself from the flock. I mean, Wendy was talking about that at the very start of the service, that the house of God is a wonderful place to be. It's a place where you can experience the presence of God, the glory of God, together with other believers. If you isolate yourself from the flock, it will make you vulnerable to the wolf's attack. I've heard it said before that when there's a fire and there's coals in the fire, if a coal falls out of the fire, it very quickly becomes a cold coal. The way to stay hot is to stay in the fire where the other coals are. And I think there is a reality to that. When you're in fellowship with other Christians, you can stay hot and on fire for God a lot easier than when you're on your own. Hebrews 10:25 talks about don't give up on meeting together. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together in the King James Version. So that's kind of subpoint number one about being safe and secure as a flock of sheep. Second thing is this, having strong boundaries. A sheepfold, so where the sheep go at night, where they're kept for safety, is a safe place because it has a strong fence all the way around it, and the gate or the door of that sheepfold is closed. And of course, Jesus in John chapter 10 talks about us coming into the sheepfold, that is his kingdom, and he is the door that we will go through to come into his kingdom. And he's also the shepherd that closes that gate, and he's instructed under shepherds, people like Paul and Wendy, assistant pastors Dan and Tasha and Ian and Annie, as they work together to shepherd this flock that is called Family Church Waterside. Their job is to make sure that boundary stays strong, make sure that gate stays closed, so that the wolf can't get a foothold into the sheepfold. I think also that the fence, the boundary of the sheepfold speaks about the kingdom of God and living within the principles of God's kingdom, living within the boundaries of God's kingdom. Because there's a big world out there, and that doesn't share the same principles that God's kingdom shares. So the minute the fence breaks down or you open the gate and you start wandering out the sheepfold, you will get consumed with the world's standards and the world's way of doing things. And I really believe that we've got to have really clear boundaries as Christians. We've got to know what we believe. We've got to know what we stand for as Christians. And we've got to make sure that gate stays closed. There's gates in our lives, our eyes, our ears. They're gates into our lives. And we've got to make sure those gates, we don't allow the devil to get a foothold because we're careless with those gates, if that makes sense, hopefully. So, but of course, we also know that it's important that we go into the field of this world. that we don't just enclose ourselves and stay away from people that are not yet Christians. If they're going to be won to Jesus, if those lost sheep are going to be found, then we've got to go into this world and we've got to know how to live strong in this world. And in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus talks about this lost son that came home. But at the same time, there's this older brother who never actually went away from the father's house, from God's house, let's say. But he spent a lot of time in the field. And when they were looking for him, he was over in the field. And he'd forgotten what he had in the house of God because he was over in the field. And I see that as the kingdom of God. It's like that father's house surrounded by fields, the fields of the world. But we are part of the father's house. And our job is to go into the field but not stay there. To go into the field and then bring in the harvest and bring others in to the safe place, which is the father's house or this sheepfold that we're talking about. And then another way that we can keep this flock safe and secure is by having a good shepherd. The good shepherd loves the sheep and lays down his life for the sheep. We're going to read that in John chapter 10 in just a moment. He watches out for wolves and is ready to intercept when he sees the wolf lurking. John 10 verses 10 to 12. So Jesus says, the thief, let's call it the wolf, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So that's his mission. It's his only mission is steal, kill, destroy. He's a very real enemy. I have come, Jesus says, that they may have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus is the good shepherd. And those who in Family Church are appointed as pastors or shepherds of this flock and of these flocks that we're representing today, they're not hired hands. They're not people that just abandon the sheep when they see the wolf coming. But they're people that are faithful and stand up for the sheep and endeavor to protect the sheep from the wolf's attack. So I think we especially need to look out for wolves in sheep's clothing, trying to deceive the flock. I'm not looking around trying to see one right now. by the way, I don't know, I realized I was looking around then. But 2 Corinthians 11:14, which isn't on the screen, says Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So just tying that into what we're saying here. You know, he will dress up in sheep's clothing sometimes and try and damage the church in a subtle and deceptive way. So you'll be able to identify a wolf in sheep's clothing by its behavior, by its fruit. So, you know, what it produces through its life. So I'll leave that one there. Also says about shepherds or the elders of the church. It says in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 3 and verse 8, it says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. So if you are an elder of the church, so that's a spiritual overseer of the church, we are commanded to be shepherds of God's flock that's under our care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And then in verse 8, it skips forward, it says, be alert and of sober mind. In another version, it says, be watchful. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So there's a real high calling upon those who are called to lead the church, to shepherd the church. I think we all have responsibility as sheep. We've got to be looking out for one another. If we see one wandering off, pull them in, because that brings safety in itself. If you see one wandering out of the sheepfold, pull them back in. And if you see the wolf trying to attack, deal with the wolf. Call on the shepherd if you need to. Jesus or Paul and Wendy. Jesus is better though, yeah. Call on Jesus. Make them aware. So, and interestingly, that verse 8 there, be alert and of sober mind. Be watchful. There's so many places in the New Testament where it talks about be watchful and prayerful, be watchful and prayerful. And Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane instructed the disciples, watch and pray, watch and pray. So being watchful is about being spiritually discerning. It's about being alert spiritually to what might be going on and, of course, praying. It just connects us then with God. So questions for you. We're nearly done. The last two are going to have to be really quick. Questions for you are this. Are you committed to being together with the flock? What are your boundaries like? Are you being conformed to this world, or are you allowing Jesus to transform you by the renewing of your mind? Are you being watchful and praying for the flock? We all have a responsibility to do that. Okay, so the fifth and the sixth indicators of a healthy church or healthy flock. Number five. It's a flock that's on the move. On the move. A healthy flock is a flock that's on the move. If we stay where we've always been, we'll become very unhealthy. So the shepherd's primary function is to lead and to guide the sheep, the flock, along right paths. Psalm 23, verse 3 says this, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. We don't want to stay where we are, because the grass will grow thin where we are. We need to be moving forwards. And by the way that the shepherd leads the flock, the shepherd doesn't go behind the sheep, driving the sheep. The shepherd simply walks ahead of the sheep, and the sheep follow because they know his voice and they trust him. And of course, the greatest shepherd, Jesus, is the one that we want to follow. And our desire as church leaders, our desire as pastors, is to be in tune with the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and to go where he's going. And then as we say, come on, church, let's go this way, we're saying it with confidence, knowing that it's not just us that's saying that, but we're going where Jesus wants us to go. Amen. And we'll just leave that point at that. And number six, the sixth indicator of a healthy flock, a healthy church, is that it's an anointed church. So the anointing in the Bible is where oil is smeared on someone, and it represents the setting apart of God, the empowerment of God. It represents the presence of God in that person's life to do the will of God. And sheep, actually, their noses are anointed with oil because, in fact, I wrote this fact down. Listen to this. Sheep are anointed with oil to protect them from biting insects. Not from the sheep biting insects, but from insects that bite, like flies, which can cause them to get sick or damage their own heads by banging them against rocks to relieve irritation. Anyone ever been that irritated? The oil repels insects, soothes their skin, and keeps the sheep calm and peaceful, allowing them to graze without disturbance. And of course, the anointing in the Bible speaks about this, the presence of God, the setting apart of God. And just to finish off, Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6 says this. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So those two verses, they just speak about the presence of God. I love that picture of a table in the presence of my enemies. I'm sat at this like feasting table. There's a battle going on all around me, but I'm like oblivious to it. I'm just sat with the Father, just enjoying fellowship with him and his family, the church family. And there's all this stuff going on around us, but we're in the presence of God, so it can't touch us. It doesn't matter what's going on. It matters, of course it does. But, you know, at that table is where then the Father comes and anoints us and says, right, now I'm going to give you the strength and the power that you need to step back into the battle and to be strong in that battle. And we've got to make sure that we are spending time at the table with the Father. That's got to be part of our lives. It's got to be part of the spiritual discipline that we apply as Christians, is that we spend time with God. And at that table, your cup will overflow. He will fill you with his Spirit. He will anoint you, and you will be ready for the battle that's going on all around you. So the church is called to be a healthy place where the presence of God is known. It's a place of setting apart, filling up, and sending out. A place where people dwell in the presence of God, to kind of tie in with what Wendy was saying at the very start today. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, is what David said there in Psalm 23. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I hope you're encouraged today to just think about some of those things. You'll have to listen to the recording, but make sure my dad doesn't listen to it, because otherwise he'll find out about his surprise weekend away at the start of December. Just checking they haven't snuck in here. Right. So, and I just want to encourage you. Let's take personal responsibility for making Family Church Waterside a healthy place, a place where... where people can come and people can experience God's family, people can encounter Jesus, where people can grow, where they're cared for, where they feel safe and secure, where they know that they're on the move with us, we're going somewhere together, and where they can experience the presence of God. So that's probably about 3 weeks' worth of messages in one. But hey, I don't get over here very often. But it'll be more than we were, because we've planted South Sea now, so we're not tied to one location again for a while anyway. See what happens next. I just want to also encourage anyone here, if you're here and you're not yet walking with Jesus, if you're, if you might consider yourself as maybe that lost sheep that hasn't yet found its place in the house of God, then I just want to pray a prayer right now where you've got the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, where you've got the opportunity to make a commitment today that you're going to be walking with him moving forwards. So would you just bow your heads, close your eyes, and just say this prayer after me today. And everyone say out loud, so we're praying together. Say, Dear Father, I accept that I cannot live up to your perfect standard, and I turn away from my sin. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I believe that you forgive me and you make all things new. I surrender to you and want to take your path for my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to live a life that honors you. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed just for a minute and your eyes closed, because this is a moment where if you prayed that prayer for the first time, maybe you prayed that prayer and you are making a decision to reconnect with God, to come back into relationship with him. If that's you today, then just be brave and do one more thing for me today, and just raise your hand in the air and say, yeah, that's me. I prayed that prayer.